I'd like to encourage everyone to take out your Bibles and prepare to follow along with our study this morning titled, Godly Women Are Needed. And it's important to note that a godly woman can be defined as a God-fearing woman who is faithfully committed to obediently serving the Lord. I got to thinking about this past week as I watched and saw the headlines of many women who were outraged over the recent news of the leaking information about Roe versus Wade and how it could be overturned. I got to thinking as I was watching these many women being outraged over the possibility of Roe versus Wade being overturned about how there is a need for more godly women in the world today. I certainly appreciate Caleb's prayer a few moments ago. And I'd like to echo those words of that prayer of Caleb. And we too need to be praying that our government and that our governing officials will make the right decision to overturn Roe versus Wade, to make it illegal for abortion. We need to be praying for that consistently, for that to happen. Because here's the thing, our country will be making a step in the right direction by making that decision. And we need to be praying for our leaders to be making the right decision in regard to life, in regard to overturning Roe versus Wade. And again, my thoughts were spurred this past week as I watched the headlines and I saw the news and I saw so many women who were angry and outraged over the possibility of this. And it is because of that we need to be mindful of the need to emphasize the importance of a godly woman. You see, someone once said, and I quote, "A godly woman is someone of whom this world is not worthy, and God is not ashamed to be called her God." End quote. How true. How true. And with that thought in mind, let's take a few moments this morning to examine the need for godly women, along with some characteristics of a godly woman and the value of a godly woman. And I want to begin this morning there, going back to the scripture reading that Alvin gave for us a few moments ago from Titus chapter 2. And going back there to Titus chapter 2, we see here beginning in verse 1, where the Apostle Paul exhorted Titus to speak things which are proper for sound doctrine. He goes on to say in verse 2, that older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. Verse 3, pay attention. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanders, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. What are those good things, Paul? Well, notice verses 4 and 5, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Here we learn the need for godly women. And we see this specifically here in verse number 3. And there Titus was instructed to speak things for sound doctrine, which included the fact that older women, or women in general, that they be reverent in behavior. It's important to point out, brethren, that word reverent there simply denotes the need to be godly. So here we see where God's desire for women is for them to be godly. We also go on to see here in the text where women are instructed to be teachers of good things. That is in relation to things that are in harmony with God's will. And we go on to see there in verses 4 and 5 some of those things that the older women were to instruct or to properly train the younger women in regard. And we see some of the good things, those things that are in harmony with God's will, those things in which God desires for women to do, some of that instruction given for us in regard to the responsibility that the older women have to be properly training the younger women toward, to be encouraging them toward proper responsibility. And the first thing that comes to light there in the text is the fact that they are to love and to obey their husbands. You see, God desires for women to love and obey their husbands. We see that in verse 4, as we see the first admonition given there was that the young women love their husbands. Dropping down there to verse 5, that they be obedient to their husbands. It's important that we recognize that God's will for women is for them to love and to obey their husbands. We also go on to see there in verse 4, where not only does God desire for women to love their husbands, but He desires for women who have children to love their children. That's important, isn't it? And it's important that women love their husbands and their children as they ought to love them. We also go on to see again where women are instructed to be pure. They're instructed to be pure in all areas of life, as we see there in verse 5 when it says to be discreet or to be chaste. It's important to note that word chaste there simply refers to the need to be pure. And it's important, ladies, that we recognize that God's desire for you is to be pure in all areas of life. Not only in your conduct, but also in your speech, in your dress, in all your actions. Again, as I was watching the headlines from this past week, and I saw how many women conducted themselves and how they used poor speech. They were using vulgar speech in their protests to the possibility of Roe versus Wade being overturned. I got to thinking about the need for women to be pure in all areas of their life. There is a need for godly women today. And we need to understand that God desires for women to be godly. We also go on to see another instruction that the older women are instructed to give the young women, and that is for them to be workers in the home. It's important to note that that's in relation to the need for women to give due attention to their household duties and to their husbands and their children. Again, this is a thing that is oftentimes contested in our society today, right? We live in a society today that is going toward the fact that in teaching young women today that they need to put their careers first. Hold off on having a family and focus on a career. That's what our young women are being taught today. They're being taught that you won't be satisfied or you truly won't be something unless if you have a career that you are somebody that makes something of yourself. But we need to know something here. God's desire is for women to be workers in the home, to be homemakers. And again, it simply notes the fact that they're to take care of the household and domestic affairs. They're to manage the house, as Paul puts it there in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 14. Simply put, what God's desire is for the woman to put her family, her husband and her children before her career. This is contrary to the modern feminist movement and thoughts, isn't it? And there's nothing wrong with a woman having a career. Don't get me wrong with that. But we need to be mindful of the fact that a woman's priority before any career needs to be that of her family. That is God's desire. That for women to be homemakers, workers in the home, for them to be one who gives the due attention to their household duties, to their husbands and their children. And we go on to see why these things are important here in verse number 5, when Paul goes on to inform that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Think about that. When you think about the need for those four things that we just talked about, our answer is that the word of God may not be blasphemed. You know what it means to blaspheme? You see, simply put, when one blasphemes, that is the act of insulting something. And it's important to note that godly women are needed, and older women need to be properly training, leading by example. The younger women to love their husbands, to obey their husbands, to love their children, to be pure in all areas of life, to be workers in the home. Because that's God's intended will for women. And when failure to do that, it is blasphemy toward the word of God. It shows contempt and lack of reverence for God. How sad that there are so many women today who show contempt and lack of reverence for God and His will and His design for woman. How sad, but how true. And when we really think about the reason for the need for godly women, and we think about the grave instruction that is given for women to strive to be godly women, how great of a responsibility that comes upon each and every woman to strive to be a godly woman. And it's important that the older ladies recognize the responsibility that they have to lead and to instruct and to train the younger women to be women that God would have them to be. Sometimes Holly will ask me a question in regard to things in regard to sometimes when women get together. Well, what do I need to do? Do I need to say a prayer? Do I need to do this? You know what I tell her? I said, you let the older women take care of that. Let the older women take the lead. And it's important that the older women recognize the responsibility that they have. The need to take the lead. The need to be instructing and to properly training our younger women to be godly women as they would be. We're blessed with many older godly women here at Belleville. We're blessed with many older women that are godly women here. And the younger women here take advantage of the older women here and watch them, listen to them, follow their lead. For by doing so, you too will be better equipped to be a godly woman who pleases God. But another aspect in regard to godly women that we can find in the scripture is found there in 1 Peter chapter 3. And if you will, follow me in your Bibles there to 1 Peter chapter 3. Here we learn about characteristics of a godly woman. And here in 1 Peter chapter 3, I'm just going to read verses 1 through 6. And here we see Peter specifically addressing Christian women. He's addressing women who have become Christians. And here in 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, Peter writes, "Wives, likewise be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. Verse 2, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear." Peter goes on to say in verse 3, "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, a wringing the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner," Peter says, "in former times the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Here we see some characteristics of a godly woman. And we begin by seeing here that a godly woman, she's going to be one who will properly conduct herself. Again, notice that there in verses 1 and 2, when Peter said that they be submissive to their husbands, that even if some of their husbands don't obey the word, that they without a word may be won, how? By the conduct of their wives. I want you to think about that for a moment. Ladies, you think you have any influence on anybody? Do you? I'm here to tell you, whether you're a man or a woman, we all have influence on people. And I've even known of some instances in which there have been some very godly women who didn't have husbands who obeyed, but were eventually won to the Lord because of what we read right here in verse 1 of 1 Peter chapter 3. Because of the conduct of that godly woman that was seen by her husband. I want you to think about that. I want you to think how powerful that is. I want you to think about the influence that each and every one of us can have by properly conducting ourselves. And we need men and women alike who properly conduct ourselves. And we see here that when a woman properly conducts herself, she is one who conducts herself properly and displays a pure and respectful behavior. When she does that by her speech, when she does that by her dress, by her actions, there's going to be benefit of that. Peter says here that even if they don't have husbands who have obeyed, that they without a word may be won. And how is that? Without a word, he said, but by conduct. That's important. And a godly woman will be a woman who properly conducts herself in all manners of life, as we talked about earlier, in her speech, in her dress, in her actions. But we also see that a godly woman, she's one who, again, does not put emphasis on her outward appearance in order to be noticed. I'm appalled by some of the outward appearance that I am seeing women display today. It is absolutely appalling to me. Some of the ways that you see women explaining and displaying themselves in the clothing that they adorn themselves in. Sadly, there are times where there's just many women today that aren't wearing much clothing at all, right? And how sad that is. It's getting to that time of year where we're going to have another lesson reminding us about the need to be modest. And it won't be long we're going to be talking about that again. Because it's important that women, old women and younger women alike, but especially younger women, listen up. It's important that you recognize the need not to put emphasis on your outward appearance in order to be noticed. Now here in the context here where Peter is talking about in verse 3, we're seeing where emphasis was put upon being overdressed. We really don't have that problem today, do we? We have more of a problem today with women being underdressed. But in the context, it's important to keep in mind that Peter's making known that they don't need to put emphasis upon the need to overemphasize their appearance. He said, "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, or wringing the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel." Peter's addressing those that really wanted to be lavish in style. They wanted to be noticed by their fine apparel, by that gold and all that jewelry that they wear that brings attention to them. And Peter's saying, don't do that. Don't do that. But on the flip side of that coin, it's also important to recognize the need not to be underdressed. Because guess what? You want to know one of the reasons why women underdress today? To be noticed. They want to be noticed. They want to catch the eye of some young man. But I'm here to tell you, young ladies, it's important not to put emphasis on your outward appearance, but rather to focus on what matters most. And that is found there in verse 4. When we see, rather let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Think about that. You see, physical beauty, ladies, eventually that's going to fade away. If time allows and you get to live to be 70, 80, 90 years old, you're not going to look the same as you did when you was 20 and 30 years old, are you? Changes happen, doesn't it? But you want to know something that won't change in a godly woman? Her inner hidden person of the heart. That's what's most important. That's what's most important. And I want you younger ladies to think about next time you're going to your closet to pick out something to wear, whether it is to go to some event like a wedding or some event other than that, or even to school for that instance, or just any reason. I want you to think about what matters most. I want you to think about those clothes that you're about to put on. Are they going to bring glory to God? Are they modest? Are they going to speak volume of who you truly are? Because they're going to speak volume of who you are one way or the other. I want you to think about that. And I want you to think about the fact that what matters most is what's in the heart. It's what's inside that matters most, ladies. And it's important to recognize that a godly woman, she will put the emphasis, will not put emphasis rather on the outward appearance in order to be noticed, but rather she will be one who adorns herself with the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty. That's a key word, incorruptible. Guess what that means? Doesn't fade away. Doesn't fade away. Incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is, by the way, very precious in the sight of God. Ladies, you want to please God? Remember 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 4. Remember that what pleases God is those who possess a gentle and quiet spirit, which, by the way, is opposite of harsh, aggressive spirit. Unfortunately, as we mentioned earlier, there have been quite a few women recently in the world who have been presenting a harsh and aggressive spirit. That doesn't please God. But what pleases God is those who possess a gentle and quiet spirit. That's important, ladies. It's important to know and to understand the fact that these qualities are greatly valued by God. Therefore, it's important to strive to be one who is gentle and quiet rather than one who is harsh, aggressive, one who is always complaining. Even a bossy wife would fit that category, right? I venture to say that you probably heard some talk about how bossy their wife is. My wife bosses me around, tells me to do this, do that all the time. She's always nagging. She's always complaining. She's always bossing me around. But it's important to note that the type of character that God desires in a woman is the quality for her to possess a gentle and quiet spirit. And by doing so, we learn that that will be very precious in the sight of God. But another quality that we learn in regard to a godly woman is she'll be one who will put her trust in God. We see that there in verse 5 of 1 Peter 3, when it reads, "For in this manner in former times the holy women," now watch this, "who trusted in God." You see that? You see, a godly woman will be one who will put her trust in God. She will be one who will not lean on her own understanding, but rather she will trust in God and let Him direct her paths. That's important. But another quality that we see in regard to a godly woman is the fact that she'll be submissive to her husband. Again, this goes contrary to the modern day feminist movement, doesn't it? Today, the modern day feminist movement speaks that women and men, they're equal. That no man should be telling any woman what to do. That no man is to have the rule over any woman. But the Bible teaches that the man is to be the head of the house. And it's important that we recognize the need for the Bible's instruction for women to likewise be submissive to their husbands. We go on to see there in regard to an example of one who was submissive to her husband. Who was that? Sarah. Sarah is the example given here in verse 6 of being one who obeyed Abraham, being one who was submissive to her husband. And again, there in verse 5, we see that those godly women, they will not only trust in God, but they'll also be submissive to their own husbands. That's important, ladies. That's important. And here's the thing. When men properly conduct themselves as they are to properly conduct themselves, it's going to be easier for their wives to be submissive to them, isn't it? It's going to be easier for their wives to be submissive to them, isn't it? You see, I use this illustration a lot, and I think it's very important to be reminded of the fact of God's plan for His place for woman. You see, going back to the creation account there in Genesis chapter 2, we learn that God formed man of the dust of the ground. But how did He form woman? From the rib of man. You know, we can learn a lot from that in regard to God's desire for the place of a woman. You know how we can learn that? You see, women were taken from the rib of man, from the side of man. And that's where her place belongs. It belongs beside the man. Her place isn't to be over or above his head. Her place isn't to be below his feet for him to trample all over. Her place is to be beside him. And when husbands recognize the responsibility that they have to likewise love their wives and to respect their wives, and when they treat them in a proper manner, it's going to make this instruction for women to be submissive to their husbands an easy thing to do, isn't it? Think about that. And men, husbands, remember the responsibility that you have in regard to how you are to treat your wife. And when you properly treat your wife in the way that the Bible instructs, your wife will be one who will be better equipped to being the godly woman that God would have her to be. And we go on to see there in verse 6 another characteristic of a godly woman in regard to the fact that she will do good. It's important to note that we see that in verse 6 where it says, "Whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror." And again, that terror, that's going to go away for women if they have a husband who properly conducts himself, right? It's going to go away. But we see here in the text that this is in reference general in respect to the particular matter under consideration about being submissive to their husbands. But I think it's important to note that this can be in reference to general good behavior in all things. And when a woman seeks to be as God would have her to be, she's certainly going to be one who does good in every aspect of her life. But I also suggest to us this morning, we've talked about the need for godly women. We've talked about some characteristics of a godly woman. I think it's appropriate that we take some time to talk about the value of a godly woman. And what better place to illustrate that than Proverbs 31. Go with me, if you will, in your Bibles there to Proverbs 31. And here in Proverbs 31, we have recorded for us what is commonly known as the virtuous wife. And I want us to take some time just to read the text here in Proverbs 31, picking up in verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? By the way, that is in reference to one who is of valor, who is valuable, who in the sense of all forms of excellence. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trust her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hand to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. Now, as you're going along reading this, does that sound like a woman who is of value to you? Without a doubt, right? Without a doubt. Picking back up in verse 21, we go on to read, she is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. We talked about that earlier, didn't we? But watch this. But a woman who fears the Lord, she will be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. What a beautiful section of Scripture in regard to the value of a godly woman. And when I think about the value of the godly woman, and I think about what we just read here in Proverbs 31, I can't help but to think about the fact that a godly woman and her worth is far more than rubies, as we see here in verse 10. You see, when you think about the value of a ruby, you think about how many long to have things of value such as rubies. And then you see that, as the wise man pointed out here in verse 10, the fact that her worth is far more above rubies. It really puts in perspective of truly how valuable a godly woman is. Think about that. You see, we go on to learn that she's not just more valuable than rubies, but she is of great value to her husband, as we see there in verses 11 and 12. We see that a husband, he's going to have trust in a woman that is a godly woman, isn't he? That's an important quality for husbands to have, but that's found in those women who possess these virtuous traits that we have talked about this day. And a godly woman, she's going to have the trust of her husband. She's going to be of value to her husband as we go on to see throughout the text. But we also see that she's not just going to be of value to her husband, but she's going to be of value to her whole household. Men, those of you that are married, don't take for granted that godly woman that's beside you. Don't take her for granted. Be mindful of how blessed you truly are to have a godly woman in your life. Don't underestimate her value. Always be mindful of it. Because, you know, I've recently heard that you really don't realize what you got until it's gone. I had a godly man tell me that not too long ago in regard to the passing of his very godly wife. And that tugged at my heartstrings, I have to tell you. Because I'll be the first to admit that I don't always give the praise to my wife that she deserves. I'll be the first to admit that sometimes I take for granted the blessing that I have to have a godly wife by my side. And when that old man told me not to ever take it for granted, it struck a chord with me. It shook me. It made me appreciate and understand how truly valuable a godly woman is. And we need to understand the true value of a godly woman. Understand how she is of value far more than rubies and of great value to her whole household, as we see there in verses 13 through 16. Notice the sacrifices that this godly woman made for her family. And how true it is of each and every godly woman today. Women, you make a lot of sacrifices for your families. You're to be commended for that. And men, we must not be a people who forget of truly how valuable a godly woman is in our life. But another characteristic and value of a godly woman is seen here in verses 25 and 26 of Proverbs 31. When it says, "Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness." Think about these traits. Think about how valuable they are. A woman who's strong, honorable, wise. Those are commendable traits, aren't they? A godly woman's going to possess those traits. And those traits are characteristic of value. And it's important to note that a godly woman is one who will be adorned with these qualities. She's going to be one who is going to do what is necessary for the needs of her family. She's going to be honorable in her service to her household. And we need to understand that a godly woman, she is one who is worthy of praise. As we go on to see there in verse 30 of Proverbs 31. When we learn that charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she will be praised. Again, we need to understand that when a woman has characteristics and possesses and demonstrates those characteristics that God would have her to be, that her husband and her children will acknowledge her love and devotion, and she will receive praise and credit where praise and credit is due. Again, I want to take a moment to commend each and every one of the women that are present here today that have demonstrated these characteristics of a godly woman. I commend you, and I encourage you to keep up the good work. And may all women strive to be a godly woman. For as we have discussed here this morning, godly women are needed, and they are of great value. Maybe there's one here this morning, whether you be a man or a woman, who have not yet submitted their life in obedience to the Lord and His will. We plead with you to get your heart right with God this very hour. For as we're about to sing, there is a great day coming. And there is a great day coming, my friend, when we will all someday stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for the things that we have done, whether good or bad. And it's important that each and every one of us are properly prepared for that great day, because that day is coming. So I now ask, what if that day would be today? Would you be prepared? Would you? If not, you can get prepared this very hour. For you have heard the word of God, and if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can repent of your sins. You can confess Jesus Christ before men. And you can be baptized this very hour for the remission of your sins. You can bury that old man of sin in that watery grave of baptism. And you can be raised up out of that watery grave to walk in a newness of life. And you too can have that hope of eternal life which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Titus chapter 1 verse 2. And may we all always remember that the buck doesn't stop at baptism, but rather we must continue to remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Maybe there's one here this morning who has already submitted their life in obedience to the Lord and His will, but you've not been faithful. Maybe you've strayed from that straight narrow path that leads to life. I plead with you to repent of your sins, to confess them to God, to get back on that straight narrow path that leads to life this very hour while you still have the opportunity to do so. Remembering that tomorrow isn't guaranteed for any of us. Remembering that there is a great day coming. And failure to get your heart right with God is going to cost you your soul. We don't want that, do we? We don't want that. Therefore, if there would be one here this morning who'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever your need may be, whatever that need be, won't you let that need be made known now while we stand and sing the song that Max has selected.